This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today.
And welcome back to InfoWars, InfoWars.com, and this is Nick Begich standing in this fourth hour. I want to switch subjects. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of news again this week. I mean, it's like the endless chain of events in the clown wars and stuff going on with Epstein and Mueller, all of it. But I want to get into a different subject. So I'm going to change the subject today for this last hour on a Friday afternoon. I want to talk about rights and land and sort of what goes with it. Because a lot of people don't get this, especially younger listeners. And this, again, some of that sort of multi-generational knowledge in past segments I've talked about. You know, what is the real values, national wealth, where is it housed, and how does it work, and what is it, you know? And it's those things that we hold in common, whether it's the airwaves, you know, the broadcast waves, which used to be held in common, or the internet, you know, and that's that whole free speech question, right? But there's a lot of rights that have been confused and lost in the shuffle over the last decades, really, and because it's just not common knowledge. People don't think about this stuff. But when you think about rights and the four factors of economic production, which I've talked about before, and I'm going to just mention them briefly again to bring this into focus. And those four things of real value are entrepreneurship as one, labor as two, natural resources, which includes land, which is three, and then capital, which is not money, but capital equipment, things that make other things, from a shovel that you can dig a ditch with to a factory. Those are things that are capital. And in between all those four factors is currency, cash, whatever you use, gold coins, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're using that everybody agrees on between there, and it does matter, actually, but for this illustration, we're just saying those are the four factors. And the one I want to focus on today is the natural resources and what that really means. And air rights, which I kind of touched on, you know, broadcast rights as being part of that, but also the rights above your land. You know, you can sell air rights. And in big cities where you're building high rises, you know, you might keep the surface estate and, you know, sell what's above your house. You know, if you can finagle it for something to go over your house. So there's a right there. There's value there that you can capture and sell air rights. And it's, you know, for those who can see it on, you can see it on the screen. But that's a whole category of rights that we don't even think about that generally run with your land. They go with the surface estate that you buy when you buy a piece of land. But let's talk about that surface estate, because that varies depending on what you buy and where it is and how the title reads. Because when you get into the surface estate, In my part of the world, for instance, modern titles don't have in it the mineral rights, as an example. And everything pretty much that was modern, I would say, from the 1950s and later at least, west of the Mississippi, a lot of those land titles don't have energy rights or mineral rights. They just have the surface estate, which is the use of the surface along with, you know, reasonable depth for foundations and water lines and sewers and so on. But the minerals, to take them out and sell them, you don't have that right. Or whether it's metallic minerals like gold and silver and that kind of stuff, or whether it's non-metallic like gravel and sand. You know, unless your patents on that land, those original titles go back far enough where those rights ran with the land, ran with the patents, and in subsequent deeding of those future titles and warranty deeds, someone didn't reserve that right to themselves, which often happens when you buy surface estates and these older properties like in Texas and other areas. People reserve the mineral rights for themselves. But we're going to get back in to the four factor of economic production, natural resources when we come back. And, you know, we get into this whole topic because these are things most people don't even think about in the 21st century, and they're fundamental to liberty, property rights, and the American way. We'll be right back.
Before I started working at InfoWars, I was not only a fan of Alex Jones and InfoWars.com, but also the products at InfoWarsStore.com. And there's one product that's offered at InfoWarsStore.com that is the elite of the supplements, and that's DNA Force Plus. Now, I remember when Alex first started talking about this with some of his special guests, telomeres and telomere support with your DNA. And so I started to look into the science and what telomeres were and how it can improve your health and longevity when you protect your telomeres. So I started looking into DNA Force Plus, but it's expensive. Why? Because it is an elite supplement. And then I started seeing other competitors coming up with competitive supplements for telomere support, and they came and they went. But DNA Force Plus is still there. It is the elite supplement. I get excited when DNA Force Plus is on sale because I know it's expensive. So you should take advantage of 50% off DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show with Nick Begich.
And welcome back this Friday afternoon. And, you know, I want to talk about where I left off. And I'm talking about this four factors of economic production, the natural resource segment of that. And why? Because it has to do with most of us thinking about where does wealth begin, you know, land. Think about land and what it represents. And when, you know, that was, a, you know, when we think about the 13 colonies, even the very beginning of land rights, you know, people coming over here, and that was, you know, the king owned the land and had given it to people, and they had parceled it out, and people were buying some titles and getting titles, what they called original titles, although there's aboriginal title too, which is a discussion for another day. But, you know, it's all about land rights. You know, an aboriginal title was a big thing, you know, and throughout the country, because it, in Alaska, my region, actually, I got to see it in my lifetime. My dad settled the aboriginal titles issue, at least part of it, here in Alaska. But surface estates became sort of complex, and it was recognized when things under the land became highly valued, like the minerals and the oil and gas, because oil and gas wasn't anything in 250 years ago, but it was certainly something 100 years ago. So what started happening is you see the same globalist sort of hijack from the king giving these major deeds of land across what they called the colonies. And eventually, you know, we said, hey, those deeds aren't any good. Those titles aren't any good. We ought to have a revolution and get rid of those titles and start something different. And we had homesteading, which allowed you to go and stake 160 acres and claim that boundary and improve upon it in some manner, build a house and agriculture and so on. And then you got a warranty deed, a title, eventually a patent from the government for that original land. And with it in the old days were all the rights, the water rights, the riparian rights. The water flowing through the land was yours, and you could dam it and use the energy and hijack the water for your agriculture, you know, do whatever you needed to, because those rights ran with the land. You know, it was part of your deal, you know, and so you did. You see that on the eastern United States predominantly with riparian rights are intact, whereas in the west they're not. So, again, surface estates are pretty complicated, and we get back into the fundamentals of surface estate. And then underneath it, you have the mineral rights, which most people, again, don't think too much about. But if you have those mineral rights, these are valuable rights. And if you have mineral patents, they give you the mineral right. And if they're old enough, the metallic and non-metallic, in other words, all the mineral rights and the surface estate and the water rights and the timber rights and the air rights, essentially. All the rights and fundamental uses of the land under mineral patents. under surface estate patents, not necessarily so. So you have to look carefully. If they're old enough, they carry those rights if they haven't been otherwise reserved, or split titles, which often happens. I mean, most people don't think about this. People in Texas know about this because there's private ownership of oil and gas rights, Pennsylvania too, and other parts of the East. And so these underlying rights all of a sudden have value when you discover oil and gas or other valuable minerals and you own all those rights. But for the most part, the West, that's not the case. But we have a lot of other rights when you think about it. And here's some things at BLM, and you hear this in the news every once in a while. You hear people fighting over grazing rights, which is where public lands and private lands both were leased or granted for a reasonable use, grazing rights, the right to graze those public lands in a responsible way, and essentially you're farming public lands, but it was practical. It made sense. Why should you own the land underneath when you really just need the grazing right if you can manage that? And the same is true with agricultural rights. Often people split that title and they allow people to lease their agricultural land, and they may keep their house or something of this nature. And people understand these kind of rights that run with the land. But water rights are pretty special. You know, in a lot of jurisdictions, you go to the state and get a permit, you know, or when they cross state boundaries, there's maybe federal jurisdiction, you know, in terms of what goes on with water. And what a lot of people don't know about water, where it comes through your land in the West, you need a Corps of Engineers permit if you're going to take something out or put something in. A lot of people don't know that. So you can't, you can span it above the high water mark. You can span it, not require the Corps of Engineer permit. But, you know, you think about it, you don't really own what's going on in that waterway when it runs through your land. Or if it's wet, the same is true. And Environmental Protection Agency, this is interesting, you know, the Clean Water Act, which gives them jurisdiction of anything that drains into the ocean or into navigable waters, which have some value to, you know, everyone. But what they dump eventually into federal waters, and they eventually all do because that's how it goes. So it gives jurisdiction to the EPA over any discharge into a stream. So there's that. And but again, it's water rights. You know, what's going on with the water? You don't really control. It's regulated by a number of agencies. Those are a couple of them. And then navigatable and non-navigatable waterways. You know, in the case of navigatable waterways, you know, those can't be restricted jurisdictions in the West and in my part of the world, in Alaska particularly, where you're allowed to transit, that the water column, the column of water, not the land under it or around it, but the column of water, if it's navigatable, is public access, because that was a way that people gained access to land historically. That's why that right of access and water columns remains. So it's a restricted right and an open right. You know, if you think about it, if you got a river running through your land, there's some things you can't do. It's navigatable water that you could do if it wasn't, for instance. So these are things that most people don't really think too much about, you know, in terms of land titles. And why they're fundamentally important is this is the base of wealth, if you think about it. So the further you go west, in the which is the later in history you get, the globalists figured out that you want to reserve some rights to government because it's easier to corrupt a government than it is a whole bunch of individual people. So if you really want to think about it in a broader, bigger picture, it's about retaining rights to government for some public purpose, theoretically. But in the end, so much of those public purposes get hijacked to private profit, which is fine, too, in terms of how it should work when it's in a balanced way. But it's not balanced anymore. Let me give you a couple examples. Homesteading up until the 1960s, which is not very long ago. I remember it. As a little kid, it was still going on. In the 1960s in Alaska, you could still homestead 160 acres if you were 18 years old and an American and went and homesteaded and surveyed it within so many years and lived on it within so many years out of seven. Then you owned it. And I think it was 7 years. You had to live on it 7 years. And then it was reduced to 5-acre home sites and commercial sites and trading posts, which were 5-acre parcels and 10-acre parcels that you could claim. You could go out on BLM land, federal land, that was unappropriated and undesignated, which was most of Alaska at that time, and you could just lay in your 4 stakes and then survey it later and reside on it for that period of time, 5 to 7 years, and you owned it. It was yours, you know, and you had to pay the patent cost. It was $1.25 an acre. It was pretty inexpensive, you know, you think about it. And patenting was like the way, the recourse into the land. And these were private things that you and I could do on unappropriated public land. And it was the way the federal government stayed out of the business of owning everything. Because on the east, you'll note that there's not much reserved for public land, libraries, some parks and preserves, but not the massive taking. Most land is private. In the east. In the west, most of it's public lands. And that's a question of why is it public lands and what are the rights that are being reserved and what happens in the future and who owns those rights, because those are our rights and it's our wallet. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with these brief messages.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Block It Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockItPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockItPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockItPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind, with Nick Begich.
So, land rights, and what's the real agenda, you know, and what does all this really mean, is where we kind of left off in the last segment. And I was talking about the sort of taking of those rights, and I want to elaborate on that theme a bit. But I want to finish up with the water rights, because here's the things attached to water rights. That's your water column. If your titles are old enough, you might own your water column. Your land under it, if your titles are old enough, of course, you own that. The navigational aspect is irrelevant if you own it. But being able to dam it and use the energy off of it or use the water for agriculture uses, these are riparian rights, things that you can do when you own all the rights that ran with the land. And the energy aspect, even going back to colonial times where mills, you know, that ground wheat and later were mechanized to run cotton gins and so on, using the mechanical force of water. And those techniques are forgotten. You know, look up old books on water rights. But more importantly, look up hydroelectric today, what you can get out of it. And you need very little motion to get a lot of energy. And when water just ran through your land, extracting a little energy out of it was kind of normal. You know, they used paddle wheels, very simple devices. You could buy them at the hardware store 100 years ago, and they fit in your stream. They generate a certain amount of electricity. You plug it direct in, or you use inverters and convert it to AC. You know, but the point of the matter is, this is still knowledge available if you know what runs with your land in terms of your rights and what you might have on it. You've got a lot of potential in land. Most people don't even think about it. And it's fundamental. You know, on the image is a dam where the water's been used and the head pressure's been used and to create a mill. For sawmill, for goodness sakes, that's what they were all about, right? Was turn the water, turn the blade, you know, and reducing gears to get it there. You know, these are important things. So, but today you need permits. You put something in the water or out of the water. You know, there's Corps of Engineers involved and the EPA and everybody else. So it's a different ball game in the 21st century how it all works. But, you know, there's workarounds, you know, on water rights, for instance. If you just lay a hose in your water and lay it in, as long as you don't have anything attached to the below the high water mark, cable it up above the high water mark and drop it in. And then you bring your line somewhere downstream out of the stream above the high water mark, and you can take the power out of it that way, and that's legal without all the permitting. But the point is, to get energy, what a great deal, you know, out of just the flow of water and the use of essentially the differential in height, gravity, and water flow to get what you need. And, you know, when you think about, again, the regulation of the basic rights through the various agencies was sort of part of it. And then the reserving of rights, the government was the other part of it. And then the theory on that was these rights would be somehow available or the wealth would be shared by the nation, which is not the case in most cases. It's marginalized pretty much. But let's look at some of the rights. I was talking to Connor off the air, and I'm going to be headed out to my property in the bush that I have with partners. And it's 812 acres of a mineral estate that has all the rights that run with the land. And my original patents were granted by Roosevelt, first one, Teddy Roosevelt, in the early 1900s. So I have the water rights, the mineral rights, the non-metallic mineral rights, surface estate, timber rights, air rights, everything. You know, the whole package that runs with the land. And And it still has subject to modern day regulation, of course. But the point of the matter is I can still extract the minerals. I can still utilize the water, and I can still utilize the land in a way that is productive. And that's why mineral patents and homesteads, which I was talking about in the last segment, were originally granted. It was a way to move land into the hands of the public for those willing to put in the prudent man test, which was, are you willing to spend your life's blood and your money to go do something and get it done? And if you are, then you get to have it. You know, and in the old days, it was like an axe and a grub stake, and you went out and you were able to homestead. So you staked your 160 acres, you know, and you chopped down the trees and made a cabin, and you knew how to do all this. The average man knew how to do this. Or you got a book and you figured it out. A lot of people failed at it too, miserably. That came over here with a dream and not a, a reality check on how back-breaking, miserable that was, chiseling something out of the wilderness. But the fact is, you had the opportunity to do it, no matter who you were. And this was the wonderful part of what was possible in the United States. You know, so homesteading was made outlawed. Home sites, and as I was talking before the break, home sites were these 5-acre tracts, and then trading post sites or commercial sites were these 5-acre tracts that you could still claim on BLM land, which was a lot of land in the West. There was still quite a bit of it that was unappropriate and undesignated. And so the fact that they ended that in the 1970s, they quit appropriating money and then eventually regulated it out. Now you can't do it. You just can't do it. It's just all public land now. And the sad story, if you look under the Constitution of the United States, it says that the only thing the federal government is supposed to reserve is post offices, military establishments, land for those purposes, and some other, you know, rational public purposes, transit corridors and so on that we all understand. But to keep the bulk of the land, the majority, like in Alaska, see, Alaska, only 1%. Now, first, let me put it in perspective. This is 20% or actually 18% of the whole nation, about a fifth of the nation. Of that, only 1% is in private hands in Alaska because homesteading and all that got shut down way too early to open the state up to the possibilities of what was here. The state made a couple of attempts, didn't work, because wherever they made homesteading legal, you had to build infrastructure, schools, roads, bridges, so on. And really what needed to be open is where people are, not where you some weird planner thought, well, let's just give up this marginal anyway. No, you release land where it is so you can develop footprint rational. And then you open up the mineral areas and the oil and gas areas and the potentials. And I want to talk about mineral rights in the next section because we still have that intact. There's still aspects of that that we still, as average Americans, 18 years old and a citizen, have certain rights that a lot of people don't understand. And I want to talk about that in the context of the 21st century, because the possibilities still exist for those willing to risk it and take challenges of what that might be. And those challenges are being looked at. You know, Alaska, a lot of it, people have never in the modern era walked on it. And even in the last 10,000 years, a lot of it, over 40% of the glaciers have receded. And in that, in receding, have uncovered lands that haven't been seen in 12,000 years or 50,000 years, perhaps. We're going to be back after these short messages. Remember, InfoWarsStore.com, that's where we're supported, where we are able to bring you the broadcast that you're hearing today on a Friday afternoon. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and we'll be right back.
Imagine if somebody told you 20 years ago that in the future, universities would be saying, don't use the term America or American, and that American flags would be seen as offensive, and that federal courts would be ruling that it's a hate symbol. That's all happening. The left are fascist authoritarians. They're bullies. They're criminals. And now they're trying to make us take down the American flag. They're saying the Betsy Ross flag, our original flag, is evil when she was an abolitionist. But people are fighting back. It's a symbol war. in this information war at InfoWarsStore.com. They're funding our operation, getting great T-shirts, a bunch of great designs, and standing up to the globalists that are trying to shut down InfoWars. A true 360 win. So get your Betsy Ross flags and Don't Tread on Me American flags, original designs, at InfoWarsStore.com and stand up to the globalists, stand up to the tyrants, and let them know these colors don't run. We're flying them proud.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Nick Baggage.
And welcome back again on this Friday afternoon. And right before the break, I was talking about, again, the basic four factors of economic production. What I'm focusing in on today is natural resources. In the context of my own life, you know, I mean, in Alaska and why Alaska is important. And I bring it up often, and not just because I live here, but because this is the treasury, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you why. And I started to explain this. Private land in Alaska, the land that you and I own, private parties own, and even corporations own, for that matter, is 1% of the entire state of Alaska. That's it. 9% is indigenous controlled through native corporations and village corporations, are quite different than what we normally think about. It's a hybrid corporate structure that dealt with native land, indigenous settlements. And then the 20% is owned by the state of Alaska, which really ought to be most of the rest. But 70% is owned by the federal government. And when you take that into consideration, and those who have a map and look at this, you know, there's like nothing that's really privately held. Now, the state has divested itself in recent days, and some boroughs, which are equivalent to counties here, have done the same, and they sell some land from time to time. Even some of the native corps have done that, but not much. And I don't think they should. I think they should keep their land base. If anything, we should be expanding the private land base, which I was talking about during the just before the break. And I talked about homesteading ending in the 60s, home sites and trading posts and commercial sites ending in the 1970s. But what didn't end is mineral rights, the right to stake and claim unappropriated mineral rights on federal lands, BLM lands, throughout the United States. And you have to look for the specific jurisdictions. But you're not able to grab usually the oil and gas rights. What you can get are the rocks, gravel, and the minerals, metallic minerals, depending on where those public lands lie. So claiming those rights you can do now. But here's the deal. Now, this is where the catch-22 and those listening in the Trump administration and in the Republican Party and Democrats that believe in progress need to reexamine this, because the right to patent mineral properties still exists today, where if you go out as a private citizen and stake and locate a valuable claim, you can have what's called an unpatented mining claim immediately, and you can permit it for development and work, but you'll never get it financed unless you have a surface estate. So you got to do that generally out of cash or risk capital, certainly. For the state of Alaska, you never own the surface estate either. You get a mineral lease, which on state land you can then extract. You have a royalty arrangement with the state and a tax base for the state and so on. But on the federal land, you get that right as an unpatented mining claim, and you can begin to develop it. In fact, you have to do a certain amount of developmental work every year to keep it. $100 a year or $200 a year, very minimal amount on federal land, and on state land, pretty minimal too, in most cases. And what you can do, though, is under the theory is that as you discover something that's commercially viable and it's worthy of substantial investment, you used to be able to go to patent. And the law still allows you to go to patent, but it hasn't been funded in a couple of decades. In other words, the law is on the books that says, yes, of course, go out and discover something and then claim it, but we won't give you the patent because there's not a nickel in the federal budget to effectuate the law, to compel the law to grant the patent. Now, I know that patent fees haven't been revised in a century, so we ought to take a look at this, because these are, after all, public lands, and we ought to get, you know, 2019 value instead of 1880s value, which is what you're dealing with here. Because a lot of the mining laws go back to the 1800s, and those laws are the ones still on the books with minor amendment. When the income tax came in, and I've mentioned this in the past, they created for the mineral owners, which was by then oil and gas industry and mineral estate owners, who had gotten public lands, unappropriated public lands, by making discovery and making patents, or those original owners that sold to big corporations and globalists or others, you know, the Guggenheims and the Morgans and the others that owned all this stuff, especially in my part of the world. And then they developed those resources and exported that money and did all the stuff they did with the wealth of the nation, ladies and gentlemen, which was free and open to us. Now it's not. So what happens is, in a national emergency, let me give you the scheme. In Alaska, what they did, and this is a longer story that maybe we'll get into today, but under the Native Land Claim Settlement Act, there was a section, this was passed by my dad in the early 70s in the Congress, and it was in that was a section called Section D2 that my dad, unfortunately, was lost on a plane, conveniently, I should say, because how that got implemented after his disappearance was exactly the wrong way. But in any case, what ended up happening is D2, then they defined it later in 1980 under peace legislation in the Carter administration that reserved 104 million acres. Let me say that again, 104 million acres. And it was supposed to be the final and last taking, hijacking of the mineral right from Alaska into federal hands that could never be developed, except under one condition. I'll get to that in a moment. But think about this. What was once held in the public estate all of a sudden got reserved. And when we settled our Statehood Act in 1959, you know, when it passed, and that's just, and I was a territorial citizen. I was born when it was still a territory here. But I can tell you what happened in all of this is it was supposed to be the final taking. And what was supposed to happen under our Statehood Act is all oil and gas and mineral wealth under state land and under all federal land would go to the state. In other words, all rents, royalties, whatever the federal government made on federal land in this state went to the state. Because under state rights and the sovereignty theory of states, most of that land should transfer to the state. But we decided, in the interest of the nation, for a lot of reasons, and in the interest of the state, under our Statehood Act, that we would keep 90% of the rents and royalties on the land and let the federal government have control of the surface state, which we thought was a good idea. Until later, they decided to lock up 104 million acres that would never be developed unless there was a national emergency. But here's the story. In these parks and preserves, I was the last hard rock miner in an area called Kantishna, Alaska, just north of Mount McKinley in the central part of our state, Mount Denali today. And the Kantishna Mining District was and is one of the golden jewels of the world in terms of its minerals. And when I was there on the surface, working a surface deposit was running between 100 and 130 ounces of silver per ton and 1 to 10 ounces of gold per ton and 15% lead on the surface, a veining structure that I had traced for about 100 feet on the surface, 10 feet wide, and had sunk on 10 feet deep. And I can tell you, you know, there was just one of many in this one valley, and the whole region was riddled and had a history, all locked up in parks and preserves. But under a national emergency, strategic minerals, all of a sudden, the game is alive. Because there also were major deposits of antimony and lead and zinc and other strategic minerals vital to national defense. And someday, in a national emergency, all these parks and preserves will be open for mineral location, but only to the globalists who funded bankrolling the taking of 104 million acres as a major reserve that someday they would get to exploit when they exploit the next emergency for strategic minerals in the United States. I'm going to talk more about that after these brief messages. You're listening to the InfoWars.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Nick Begich. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And welcome back. You know, during the breaks, I get a chance to talk to the Connor, who's today producing a program with Daria in Texas. You know, we do all this from all these different places. You know, I'm sitting here in Alaska, they're down there in Austin, and here we are talking to you all over the world on issues of fundamental rights, basically. And we were talking about land rights throughout this segment and sort of some of the fundamentals about that and how these things interrelate to our lives personally and what they have to do with us in terms of historical knowledge, which people don't grab anymore. There's a lot of this gets lost in the shuffle. And we were talking at one point about giant vegetables in Alaska. And for those who get the video feeds, I don't know if Connor found any of those, but, you know, agriculture rights, you know, which is an important thing. And, you know, climate change is truly happening, whether you agree with the lefties that it's, you know, that all this change is related to man, but I don't necessarily agree with that at all. It's mainly nature. But giant vegetables, you know, 100-pound cabbages that taste great, you know, giant zucchinis as big as a child, you know. Giant vegetables here at the in Alaska, you know, and there's images of our state fair, some of the giant stuff we have. And why is that? Well, there's a couple of reasons. We don't use pesticides and fertilizers here. What we have is colloidal materials. And what are those? Those are microparticles submicron sizes, nanoparticles that are created under two ways. One is by volcanic eruption, which kicks up from the deep earth all of the minerals from deep stratas and scatter them all over. For those watching the mineral feed, the feed can see the pictures, but these minerals scatter. And what also you have is glaciers grinding the rock for thousands of years, for millennium upon millennium. And then as they receded, all the dust blowing in the air and forming clays and blowing up every time the wind blows here, scatters these particulates back on the leaves of plants. And in the morning, when plants hear the songbirds in the morning, and if you wake up early enough, you'll hear them, even if they're still breathing in your part of the world, you'll hear them. And what happens is the plants, actually the pores on the plants dilate, and they actually suck in the morning dew or the moisture and any dust particles eventually, or pollutants for that matter, and they suck them into the plant. So plants both feed from the leaves, from the foliar feeds, and from the root systems. So minerals are important. That's why we have these giant vegetables. They say, oh, it's a long sunlight. Well, certainly that matters, but it's the soil. It's that input. It's the solar input, you know, part one, water input, part two. Our water is exceptionally good, and it's carrying colloidal minerals also in the glacial tills and glacial materials and so on that it's washing through. So it's dissolving those that are dissolvable. And so you have this, all of the synergies of this region, and now climate is changing. Now what's happened that people want to fight about, I want to fight about. But here's the truth of the matter. In the last 13,000 years, the oceans have receded, have, you know, gotten deeper, actually. 300 feet in 13,000 years. It's about 3 feet per 100 years, what we're forecasting. That's the average, 3 feet per 100 years. Because the glaciers, where I'm sitting right now, used to be just 2,000 years ago, were a mile thick over my head here in Anchorage. So, you know, things have changed a lot before automobiles and before humans' carbon footprint. But that's a show for another day. But the fact is driving all of our regulation today, that's defining how our cultures live and thrive. And I want to talk about the regulatory side also on the surface estate uses. You know, I mentioned in one of the past segments, the Jones Act, the restriction of moving a ship from a U.S. port to a U.S. port. It must be built in America versus a U.S. port to a foreign port. A foreign port to a U.S. port, any ship will do. The difference is massive. 10 times the difference in the freight costs on moving freight around. So we need to deal with the Jones Act in real terms for Alaska so we can ship our oil and gas and mineral products on foreign-built ships just like we can to any foreign producer. We ought to be able to do to an American producer and be able to ship Alaskan products to U.S. ports on the West Coast. And we don't have a railroad link. If they had that, it wouldn't be an argument. Just move it on the railroad. But we don't have that. We need access to West Coast ports as Americans in Alaska, developing resources that are in the nation's interest to develop by changing the regulations and changing the Jones Act as it relates to Alaska, to move our raw materials into U.S. Rust Belt ports that they can move inland to be turned into value added. Because the other big inputs are energy. Energy, transportation, two of the big inputs. When you talk about this, infrastructure and information systems, that's energy, right? I mean, these farms require huge, prodigious amounts of energy. Transportation is all about energy. Value added in terms of refineries and plants and factories is about energy. Alaska, 25% of our energy in Alaska isn't oil and gas. It's hydroelectric on southeast Alaska. And we have huge hydroelectric potentials here and throughout the western states that can be captured and converted to value added because, again, it's matching the factors of economic production, land, entrepreneurship, labor, and natural resources through investment, through cash being invested to build factories and plants and refineries and things that create jobs and opportunity by adding value to the raw materials produced here. And the big factors in the modern age is about information, transportation, communication systems, fundamentally, again, energy. Then it's about AI and robotics and the advancements of technology that are making it even more relevant to get things developed closer to the core of where raw resources are produced and the value added as the money rolls through the economy can happen here. And we put a chokehold on Alaska in so many different ways historically, and we continue to do so by regulation. Transportation regulation that I just mentioned. When you talk about the fact that climate is changing, no one can deny it. And then you look at the agricultural potential of Alaska. They made attempts on the state level 30 years ago to create agricultural areas. And I would say it was largely a failure, although there are some really pioneering folks out there in Delta and throughout Alaska doing some incredible work with farms and farming and trying to develop an industry that I think is getting more and more potential, not less and less potential, in the face of climate change. And the reality is climate change is here. You can argue about its cause or effect or whatever you want, but the reality is the reality of the 21st century. And if everyone stopped everything, they say it might decrease in 100 years by 1 degree. And I can tell you the planet is not stopping. So that is not going to happen. We need to be smarter about our footprint, smarter about our futures, but we can do this. We've already done this. The technologies exist to do this soundly. But let's add the value in the country where we live. When I was talking about mineral rights and the changes before the last break, I mentioned, you know, they don't fund some of the things they allow. They don't fund it. So how does that work? You know, but the fact is, we didn't even get into a lot of the rights that still run with the land that I didn't get to talk about. I want to talk more about mineral rights and what that means. I want to talk more about oil and gas and what it means and what depletion allowances are as it relates to the income tax of the early 1900s. And in the last few minutes, we'll touch on that because fundamentally, again, when the income tax came in, remember, before they amended the Constitution, this was unconstitutional tax man's labor. And what happened with the mineral industry when the income tax came in is they created this fiction called depletion allowances. Well, as you deplete the minerals on the land, you get to write off a percentage against your taxes. And this little shell game allows you to effectively reduce your tax net taxable income by half. Let me say it again. Your net taxable income effectively is cut to half under depletion allowances. And on public lands, I don't believe depletion allowances should apply because it's not private industry's resource being depreciated and depleted. It's ours. For a token royalty is being depleted. Over $1 trillion worth of oil at $100 a barrel off the North Slope alone in the last couple of decades. You know, the fact of the matter is the national resources are being hijacked by globalists. And the structuring of this began with the land rights. What the indigenous got to keep in Alaska was all the rights that run with the land. Fundamentally, what all of us should have with our private land. This has been Nick Begich on this Friday afternoon on the InfoWars. Thanks for being here.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.